Thank you. Thank you. This is more than just some churchy thing that we do. It's certainly far more than just coming and checking some religious box. Lord, this is about an encounter with you, the living Jesus. And so we're so grateful that you've redeemed us, changed us, renewed us. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. And Lord, today, just help us to step in with all that we can. Speak to our hearts and our minds, and may we leave here better than we came. We trust you in Jesus' mighty name today, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, come on, let's worship.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you for coming and saving us and redeeming us. We praise you, God, for revealing your glory and your power to us. We thank you for bringing us out of the darkness and into your glorious, your marvelous light. For allowing us to be transformed and conformed into your image, God. Thank you so much for rising us higher, for bringing us up, for taking us forward, God. For giving us a living hope, giving us a bread and a water so that we'll never hunger and thirst again. Thank you for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear. Thank you so much, God. We praise you. We give you the honor and the glory. We worship you. You alone are worthy, God. We declare today that you alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Help us, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, not by our own might or strength or wisdom, God, but by your Spirit, by your power. Help us to give life and bring life to others. Help us, God, to be confident and courageous in you so that we would invite people to Easter, that we would pass out these cards, God. And show people that death truly is canceled, that you have overcome the grave. The tomb was empty, and you promised the same resurrection to each and every one of us that put our faith in you. Help us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. We love you, God. Help us to receive more and more of your love so we can love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give another round for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You can all be seated. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to speak right now. Hosanna. Hallelujah. My name is Rolando. I'm the youth and young adults director here at Seaport. And I get the privilege of welcoming all of you this morning. Welcome. Welcome. It's a blessing for you to be here. And can we just give another round of applause for our guests? God bless you all. But we also, we don't just want to welcome you. We want to get connected with you. We want you to know the reality of the power of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that you can get connected with Seaport is by texting welcome to the number up here on the screen behind me. You'll get back another message. You can follow the link and you can get connected that way. You can also get connected through all of our different social media platforms. We've got YouTube, Facebook, there's even TikTok. There's a whole bunch to get connected with Seaport that way. And finally, after the service, if you'd like to speak with Pastor Brad, our founder, you can probably meet him over by the cafe if he's not already talking to about 12 other people. So you can definitely get connected that way as well. But without further ado, I'm going to invite Melissa to come up here and share a little bit with us. And Alice.
Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Woo! Great. Well, our early childhood class, which is comprised of our 3 to 5 year olds and some sixes in the mix, they have prepared a very special song, and we have a special story to go along with it this morning called Hosanna. So, friends, why don't you start? Come on, meet Miss Melissa up on the platform. All right. Come right to here. So they have been practicing every week in class for quite some time, and they are very excited to bring it to you this morning. So Alice will be helping to narrate our story, and Mr. Brian will be leading us in the song. All right.
Hi, friends. Your families are really excited to see you, so look out in the crowd. See if you can find them and give them a big wave. All right, let's all say Hosanna together when I count to three. Ready? One, two, three. Hosanna! Okay, if you guys sit down, I'll tell you a story. It was a bright and sunny day, and the people of Jerusalem were doing their chores and visiting their neighbors and their friends just like always. But little did they know, this was no ordinary day. Something exciting was about to happen. A special visitor was coming to town. Some called him a prophet. Others called him the son of David. Many people in Jerusalem had heard stories of a man named Jesus and the miracles that he had performed, like turning water into wine and raising a man from the dead. They were excited to see Jesus, so they rushed out of their homes and they began to line the streets in anticipation. Let's stand up so we can sing about it. Kids, do you know not everyone had heard of Jesus? But they saw the crowds forming, so they came out of their homes and asked, "What's going on?" The crowd told them about the lessons that Jesus was teaching all across Galilee. Can you stand up and we'll sing some more?
Ready? One, two, three, four. Jesus teaches us the Word of God, Word of God, Word of God. Jesus teaches us the Word of God in Jerusalem. Again. Jesus teaches us the Word of God, Word of God, Word of God. Jesus teaches us the Word of God in Jerusalem.
Now, did you know Jesus didn't come alone? He had his disciples with him. And just before they reached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples ahead to fetch a donkey for him to ride on. Jesus wanted to show the people that he was a humble man of peace. So the disciples got the donkey and brought it to Jesus. He sat on the back of that donkey and he made his way through the streets of Jerusalem. Shall we sing about it? Let's stand up.
One, two, three, four. The donkey Jesus rode said, "Hee hee haw, hee hee haw, hee hee haw." The donkey Jesus rode said, "Hee hee haw, in Jerusalem." Again. The donkey Jesus rode said, "Hee hee haw, hee hee haw, hee hee haw." The donkey Jesus rode said, "Hee hee haw, in Jerusalem."
As Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, the people who lined the streets began to take off their cloaks, which is another name for coat. And they laid them down on the ground in the path that Jesus would travel as a sign of respect for this man who they honored like a king. Let's stand up and sing another song.
Ready? One, two, three, four. The people took their coats and laid them down. laid them down, laid them down. The people took their coats and laid them down in Jerusalem. The people took their coats and laid them down, laid them down, laid them down. The people took their coats and laid them down in Jerusalem.
Then some people cut some branches from nearby palm trees and they passed them out to everyone in the crowd. Everyone held up their palm branches high in the air and began to wave them to celebrate the arrival of Jesus. Let's sing that song.
Ready? One, two, three, four. The people wave their branches, swish, swish, swish. Swish, 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 swish. The people wave their branches, swish, 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 in Jerusalem. Again, the people wave their branches, swish, 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 swish. The people wave their branches, swish, 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 in Jerusalem.
And as Jesus rode down the street, the excitement grew and grew. And then the people cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord!" Because Jesus had arrived. He had come to bring the message of peace and love that God wanted everyone to hear. A day that had started out just like any other day had ended in a celebration with the triumphant entry of Jesus on the back of a donkey, and the people of Jerusalem celebrated the promise that they had been waiting for. Their king had finally come. Let's stand up.
Ready? One, two, three, four. Jesus is our king. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Jesus is our king.
Hosanna.
Jesus is our King.
Again.
Jesus is our King. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Jesus is our King.
Hosanna, Jesus is our King.
Jesus is our King.
Jesus is our King.
Great job, kids. Thank you for helping me tell the story.
Amen. Thank you so much. I know that Brian has worked with those kids for several weeks. And, you know, they come up here and they get nervous. And frankly, some Sundays I look at you and you make me nervous. But just kidding. just kidding. But anyway, thank you. That was great. I mean, they did a good job. And so appreciate that. Amen. You know, as we honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings, I often think of this scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote to a church that he founded in the Roman colony of Philippi. And this church had been very concerned about him, even though he hadn't been there in 10 years. They had watched what he was doing. They tried to support him. And he writes what is basically a big thank you note to them. And he makes this statement in Philippians 4:19, "And the same God who takes care of me, you know, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches that have been given to us in Christ Jesus." It's very simple. Don't just give today. When you give, just simply say, "Lord, I give because you've honored me and you've blessed me, and I know that you'll continue to provide for me." Amen? I mean, sometimes we struggle to give because we're afraid that somehow maybe we won't have enough. But this promise of Scripture says that when we give and we honor the Lord, then he gives back to us. Amen? Because of his care and of his concern. And he's faithful to provide and help us. And guess what? I know it's true. I've experienced it many, many times. So let's just honor the Lord. If today's your very first Sunday with us, there's no pressure to give. Give if you care to, but there's no pressure to at all. Hallelujah. We're honored to have you here. Glad to have you here. Let's pray. Lord, as we give today, tithes and offerings, Lord, we give because you've honored us and you've blessed us and you've made a commitment that you'll provide for our needs. And so sometimes, Lord, when we struggle to give because maybe we're afraid that we won't have enough, the promise of your word is that you will provide, maybe in unusual and strange ways, but you're faithful and you'll provide. So now, Lord, as we give in faith because you're a great God and you care for your people. So, Lord, receive our financial gifts as a way of saying thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do for us. Thanks. Amen, friends. Lots of ways to give. You can go old school with the kiosk with the envelopes. There's giving boxes out there. You can do that. You can use text to give, or you can use the app. The app is probably the easiest way to give. And so you can do that. And so thank you for giving. Thanks for supporting what God is doing around here. I want to share some real quick opportunities. This Wednesday night, there will be a regular Wednesday night service. And there's two opportunities. You can go with Adam, and he's leading you through Hebrews. Chris and I are doing Laws of Spiritual Power. And this week, I'm going to do one called How Not to Be a People Pleaser. And I'm going to teach on how to break free from that. And I may do an additional one as well. We'll see how that goes. Friday night, Good Friday service for an hour, 6:30 to 7:30, thereabouts. And special things for the kids. It's a family service. But slightly changed. The Lord had me to change this. We'll celebrate communion for sure. At the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity to receive physical healing. The Lord told me to pray for healing, and that's what we're going to do on Good Friday. Because when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he purchase our salvation, but he gained healing for us as well. And so we're going to pray for your physical healing on Friday night. And so just come prayed up and expectant. Can you do that with me? Let's make Good Friday more than just a Good Friday service, but a real experience with Jesus. Amen? And we just want to bless you. Every family that comes is going to get one of these little olive wood. These are cut out of olive wood. It's just a little gift to you to remember that night. Okay? We are not going to serve communion in these things because the stuff tastes really nasty when you drink it out of this wooden thing. Believe me, I know I tried it. So, but it's just going to be, it's going to be a gift to every family. You can look at that and remember all that Jesus did for you and for me. Amen? And then Easter, let's talk about Easter. It happens to be next week, believe it or not, right? Two services, 9 and 11. We're asking you to register. The reason we ask you to register is so that we can be fully prepared for you. There's an egg hunt that follows both services, 9 and 11. Okay, so it's important to understand that. And please use the invite cards that we made. Use those little cards, death canceled, you know. Use those little cards and to invite people this week. Your invitation is far more powerful than any invite that they'll see on social media. You know that, right? Studies show that somewhere around 75 to 90% of people who visit a church do so because you love them enough to invite them. You know that? It's quite a statement. All the other stuff, it has minimal effect in comparison to that. So, and then we also, Lindsay made up a quick little video, 37-second video that you can share right off of Seaport's page. Let's take a look at it.
After Jesus died, they put Jesus in a tomb. He was just waiting for the 3 days. He's probably drinking soda while eating hot Cheetos. 3 days later, there was a big earthquake.
And then on Sunday, Mary and some of her friends came with some spices. But when they got there, the tomb was empty.
His clothes only was there.
Let's go tell the news.
So you can share that. We'll play the whole video next week. So I hope that you'll come and be part of that. It's going to be just a tremendous service. And so I hope that you'll come and be part, bring family and friends too with you. Amen. And I'll be speaking on the power of the resurrection. How does the power of this release to change our lives? It's more than Jesus rose from the dead. It's about the power that was released that can change our lives too. Amen. So that's the message title next week, next Sunday morning. So there's lots of opportunities here that you can find where? In the app, thank you. There's laser tag, look at this. There's a brand new ladies Bible study on Philippians, by the way. You know, there you go, one of my favorite New Testament books. Sherry's gonna be doing a family-friendly wellness class for us, and that will help you. There's more information in the app there. And our Impact Girls, I mean, they've got hang on to this date for a ladies tea party extravaganza. How about that? So there's all kinds of things that are coming. Hope that you'll take advantage of them. Right now, I want to go ahead and I want to release the youth. You guys can head out of here with Rolando and Bree. I appreciate. On every Thursday night, our young adults, 18 to 29, meet in the fireplace room. And we have a growing number of young adults. That group has been steadily growing. And so we thank God for that. Before Chris comes, we're kind of doing a mini-series called Freedom is Here. That we're doing today, Good Friday, and then on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Just before Chris comes, I want to tell you something about this guy. So let me tell you about, he does not know I'm going to do this. Does not know that. So during City Quake, a single mom and her kids came to this church, and I don't even know if they're here today. I don't even know if they're here, but if they're here, that's great. The mom really had an experience with Jesus, a radical experience with Jesus. And they're kind of coming kind of between here and maybe another church, another AG church. But anyway, in this household is a 9-year-old boy. And I think he started coming to Rangers just before the Derby. And really, because of a lot of things going on in his life, didn't really have the opportunity to make a car or anything of the sort. You know, and Chris saw that. Jumped in there, got his own bandsaw, brought it over here to the church, asked if he wanted to participate in the Derby, and he was super excited about that. Chris helped him cut out his car, and then, you know what, and he was here yesterday with his whole family. Little 9-year-old Nate was here, and he raced in the Derby, and that track filled this entire platform. This is the most high-tech, crazy Derby thing I'd ever seen in my life, but it was amazing. It was amazing. You should have seen this. And hats off to all of you who did this. That boy was here. He raced his car. Most of you didn't see it. I saw it. At the very end, his name was called, and he got a trophy for workmanship. And he ran over to his mom, who was sitting over there, brand new. He was so excited, and his mom was so excited. And I saw her out of the corner of my eye get a hold of Chris and thank him for helping her 9-year-old boy who had no shot at participating in this, not only participate and have a great time, but win a trophy too. Do you think that that's going to stand out? Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thanks, Pastor Brad. Noah. Always surprising me. Well, good morning, Seaport, on that note. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, good. It's a great day. And if I asked you if you could describe what freedom looks like, what would you say? Oh, yeah. I like that, Tim. Would you say that it's the ability to do what you want without someone else's interference? What does it look like in America? You know, our culture tells us that freedom is a fundamental part of our country's identity and history. But is that really true freedom? You see, in America, it's deeply ingrained within us, right? This right, it entitles us to live out this American dream, to be anything that you want to be, if you put your mind to it, or if you put enough effort into it, you can do anything. And in fact, we even celebrate this. We celebrate this with patriotic songs and symbols. I mean, heck, there's even a 4th of July celebration, right? It values things like individualism, self-determination, personal freedom. It's this idea that people should have the right to pursue their own interests and aspirations without undue interference. We don't want to pay any taxes, per se. We don't want any oppression, especially by the government or by others. We want to live the way we want to live. Yet, this also seems to put us at a precipice. This concept of freedom, it isn't without its own complexities. It isn't without its own controversy. It isn't without its own bondage. You see, everywhere that we look, we're grappling with these issues that are related to some kind of inequality. As one man's freedom restricts another's opportunities for what they believe is freedom. You know, it just causes further inequality, as no one can seem to agree with what freedom really is, at least in a secular worldview. And this kind of crazy cycle, it just continues to repeat itself over and over and over again. Why? Because everybody wants their own version of freedom. Everybody wants freedom from insert whatever. And when we don't get it, oh God, the injustice, we cry. You know, but this idea of freedom is simply the ability to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. It seems more like idolatry than freedom. And worst of all, it places I above everything else. It puts us in the mercy seat. And if you study history, it's a cycle that just continues on and on and on again. You see, years ago, it was no different. The Jewish people, right? They wanted their idea of freedom too. They wanted to be free from the Roman oppression. They wanted to be free from taxation. They wanted to live their lives without judgment or others dictating what they could or couldn't do, where they could or couldn't worship. You see, the Jewish culture, it was well-versed and waiting with this anticipation for the coming Messiah, for the coming of a king that was going to grant them freedom. Freedom, yet not the freedom that they expected. And so let's go back for a moment, right? What would we have done? Would we have done the same thing? Would we have had all of the head knowledge but not noticed what he was offering? Would we have missed it too? So if you guys could pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, we're going to be in Mark 11, chapter 1 today. Well, that's where we're starting. And I mean, we are, after all, in the beginning of the Holy Week. It is Palm Sunday, is it not? I mean, why not see what the triumphant entry looked like through the eyes of those that were on the ground? As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them to go ahead. "Go into the village over there," he told them. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there with no one that has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and will return it soon." The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They said what Jesus had told them to say and that they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their garments over it. He sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and people all around him were shouting, "Praise God! Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heaven." So Jesus came to Jerusalem, went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. So what did people see? So let's try for a moment to transport ourselves back to that day almost 2,000 years ago. But not as Christians who know the details that we know are coming. Not as someone who knows what the Easter timeline plays out as. But into the crowd. Into the crowd of the observers on that road into Jerusalem who didn't know what they were about to experience necessarily. You see, it was the Passover festival. The Jewish people, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the scrolls. They would read from the Exodus and the freedom that it had provided. And they were expectant. They were expecting a Messiah. A Messiah to provide them with freedom as well. They expected the Messiah to free them. To mightily triumph over their oppressors, providing them with the freedom that they hoped for. You see, they too had this idea of what freedom looked like. More of a worldly desire that they would be freed from the Romans, that the Messiah was going to conquer them politically or militarily. You know, we'd have expected him to ride in on a mighty war horse or a chariot to announce his presence and just claim his control. But what is it that they witnessed? Now stay with me because I want to set the stage a little more for you. Raise your hand if you've ever been down to Mystic when they had the St. Patrick's Day parade. Right? There are a ton of people. They're coming and they're going. And I want you to picture this as you're getting into town. Most of the houses down there, they're very close together. The front doors, they all face the street. And while during this time, most of the houses there, they also faced into a courtyard, you know, shared by neighbors, especially in these smaller villages. The doorways, they faced into these dirt roads through town. Now picture it, you're in Mystic and you're heading from the church that's at the top of the hill and you go right into the downtown Mystic area and you roll right up to the drawbridge. You emerge at the center of town. You see, this is kind of how Jerusalem was set up. Because all the roads out of the city, they led up to gates. And now during the St. Patrick's Day parade, it wouldn't be uncommon to be out there cheering and watching everyone as they go into town. You could easily identify the mayor or the grand marshal, maybe a dignitary that passed by. And so you cheer a little bit louder after all the celebration. And for Jerusalem, this was the start of the Passover festival. They were celebrating. Many bystanders were around, some lingering, all eyes on the parade of people. You know, a fairly calm yet cheerful crowd, just watching this procession occur, watching as the royalty and the dignitaries came into the city. The crowd would be chanting halal psalms for Passover. The crowd chanted words from Psalm 118 saying, "Please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, bless us. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Long live the King, carrying a meaning behind their joyful shouts. That was different for some people because some knew that Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, while others who were just caught up and the fervor of the festival were just shouting along with the crowd in recognition of the royalty, with no knowledge that this man on a donkey, was indeed the ultimate royalty. You see, the people would have sang these psalms even if Jesus was not there in celebration of these dignitaries. Even the call of Hosanna, this "save us," was something the Jewish people that they would call out when they were lacking in faith. Jesus as the Messiah, his presence was right in front of them. Yet they were looking right past him to the promise of the Messiah. Again, it's easy for us to look back and notice how important this was at the time. We think, how could they have been so blind? Because it was just a week after that they were saying, "Hosanna in the highest," that the same people were saying, "Crucify him." How could they be so blind? You know, we have that luxury because we can look back and we can see the significance of that particular week. You have to remember at this time, the New Testament, it was still being played out and not yet written. I mean, how many today are no different than those casual onlookers that were literally in the presence of the living God who was offering freedom to them, but chose to be more worried about themselves, to be more worried about their worldly freedom? I mean, how many people do you see today that are just wearing crosses? They're posting biblical verses. And when they ask, if you ask them, they say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But their life really shows this secular freedom that's of their own accord. I mean, how many people are in the daily routine? Because it's that time of year. It's that time of year. It's that Easter time of year. It's time to go to church. Because that's just what we do. Just as some of the onlookers at the festival, this idea of freedom wasn't a godly freedom. They were living a life that was based on their own desires, their own needs, and they received this freedom from other sources. Even if it's only for a moment, even if it's because of their so-called relationship with Jesus or a lack thereof, or one that just simply remains out of convenience, or a CYI or CYA just in case things go bad. Just let me punch that ticket to heaven, they think. And continue to still do their individual freedoms. And do those individual freedoms ever bring them joy? Are they ever truly satisfied? We always want more, more, more. You see, we forget what having faith in Jesus really is. And we trade that freedom for some instant gratification. And so if we fast forward to the next morning, in Mark 11:22, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone who is holding a grudge against you so that your Father in heaven will forgive you of your sins too. He said, I tell you, if you pray for anything and believe it, you will receive it and it will be yours. In God's will, of course. Why would we put our faith in anything else? Worldly desires, they do not come with this kind of promise or fulfillment. Yet the thought of the Messiah was coming to provide them with freedom from the Romans, from oppression, from taxes. They had a worldly perspective. That's just where they were. That's what they thought the freedom that Jesus was going to provide was. And so let's go back a little bit. Let's go back now and see what really happened. Let's go back and look at this through the eyes of faith and the knowledge of revelation to see what's happened. Because if you look across the synoptic gospels or through Mark and Matthew and Luke, they're all talking about Jesus riding in on a donkey. And it's significant that it was a colt. A colt was a young donkey that had not yet been broken in. No one would have attempted to ride this untested animal in such a busy event. No one but Jesus. You see, the colt, it had never been ridden before, and it was sacred for this specific task. In fact, the Old Testament prophecy was that specific. Not just any old donkey, but a colt. You see, in Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he's humble. Humble, riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. The prophecy was being played out right in front of them. This is the way that the Messiah, that the messianic king, that they were waiting for was to enter Jerusalem. Jesus didn't fit any of their other preconceived notions. He looked poor. He looked not particularly kingly. But he was indeed the king. You see, the king wasn't coming with this outward projection of power or intimidation. He wasn't coming like parking a carrier battle group off the coast in a third world country. He wasn't coming as this great political leader imposing economic sanctions to free them from the Roman Empire. You know, instead, he came in peace, with righteousness, with humility. The king was coming not to bring destruction or to conquest over an empire, but for the salvation of all souls. Not to provide this worldly independence, but freedom from sin and death. Rescuing and redeeming his people for the kingdom of God. For eternity. You know, for some people, Jesus was just going to be another pilgrim on a donkey. But for others, for those that had the eyes to see, for those that had the ears to hear, he was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Is Hebrew for save, I pray. Help, please. It's what we read when we read Psalm 118:25. Lord, save us. It's a plea. It's a plea for salvation. Save us now. But the question is what we need saving from versus what they think they're asking for saving of. You know, many of the Jews were shouting, Hosanna. They knew exactly what they wanted. They wanted Hosanna from the Romans. They wanted saving from the foreign occupation and taxes. They wanted freedom to do whatever they wanted to do without someone telling them they couldn't do it. They wanted Hosanna from all those who oppressed and took advantage of them. You see, but Jesus, he was the king. He was the king of Zechariah's prophecy, and what he was bringing was salvation. Even if they didn't know what freedom really was. You see, the people, they were correct to call out and praise Hosanna, whether they understood it or not. Because it was part of God's plan for salvation. You see, Jesus came into Jerusalem exactly the way he was supposed to come in. He came in righteousness. He came in humility. He came in weakness and not strength. He came in not to overthrow the political or military authorities, but to suffer and to surrender under them. Jesus came not for the golden crown or for the Roman laurel wreath. He came for the thorns. He came for the thorns because he was not going to be lifted up in front of them for praise in this world, but he would be lifted up on a cross and pitied at best and mocked at worst. And Jesus would do all these things. He would do all of these things because he understood what the real freedom is. The real problem was not the Romans, but the fact that sin has separated us from God. The fact that sin continues to separate us from God and to separate us from each other. You see, Jesus knew that repairing a broken political system or being a military might, it would do nothing for us. What we needed was the power to be broken from sin, to be reunited and reconnected to God. That is the triumphant entry, because Jesus was choosing to suffer the worst thing that could possibly happen so that he could give you the best, true freedom. You know, I've never been to the Holy Land, but I hope to go someday. But I've climbed a lot of mountains, and going from Jericho to Jerusalem, it involves this long, arduous climb. Because Jericho, if you didn't know, is the lowest city on earth. It's over 800 feet below sea level. And Jerusalem, only a dozen or so miles away, is at 3,000 feet above sea level. So it's this huge climb. And the roads are not easy. It's a hot, dry, stony desert all the way to the top of the Mount of Olives. And even if you were climbing this road every single week for business, there would still be this sense of exhilaration, of delight and relief when you got to the top. And the disciples knew of the kingdom to come. And so add that to the anticipation and the gladness of the mood of the disciples. and the followers after they've seen him do these miracles. As they come up on the hill, it's Passover time, it's freedom time. The great hope of freedom is here, that God's sovereign and saving presence would finally be revealed. It would finally be revealed. And listen, they don't spread cloaks on the road for just anybody. Not in the middle of a desert where it's dusty and stony in the Middle East. This is something you don't do for a friend or for a teacher or for an elder family member. No, no, no. This is something that you do for only one reason, for royalty. You don't cut the branches off of a tree or foliage from the fields to wave in the street just because of some elated thing. You do it because you're welcoming in the king. You see, the shout of the crowd brings this out exactly. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is the one who comes. You are my God. I will praise, I will exalt you. But were they ready to listen and obey? Were they really ready to listen and obey, or were they just puzzled because he didn't come in as expected? You know, ask yourself this. Are you? Do you listen and obey, or do you stay stagnant because he's not coming how you expected him? You know, are we ready to go out of our way and honor him, finding in our own lives the equivalent of these cloaks to spread before him on the road, branches to wave in the coming of a festival? That we honor, that we glorify him because he is the Almighty God, because he is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace? Or have we so domesticated and trivialized our commitment, our devotion to Jesus himself? Or are we simply just someone to ask for help for various things that we do along the way? Because we want to continue to do things the way we want to do things, but with some insurance. Someone to provide this comforting religious experience. Someone to just punch that heaven ticket. You know, in our world, in our culture, we make this freedom cloudy. I mean, think about it. What freedom are you actually seeking? You know, friends, I believe with all my heart that just about everyone in here has a Hosanna prayer. Some are here shouting Hosanna with everything they have. They're all in, while others, they're like, Hosanna, under their breath. Because we know there's a challenge there. There's a challenge that we might have to go out of our comfort zone to do something. You know, maybe you're online here, or maybe you're in this building and you're thinking, man, I thought I had it figured out. You got to remember that Hosanna is this plea for rescue. Hosanna is like the whistles on the life preservers when a ship goes down into the ocean. You whistle to let the rescuers know that you're there and that you need help. You blow that whistle as long and as hard until somebody hears you, because you need to be rescued. But how clear is your view, really? Are you more likely the boy who cried wolf because something didn't go your way? And so now you're coming. You know, a good example is when Nicole and I were coming across Long Island Sound on our boat, we were going through this fog that could be described as pea soup. It was so thick that we could not see the front of our boat. And every 2 minutes, scared, we're hitting the air horn, we're feverishly ringing the bell, hoping, praying that somebody will hear us. Nicole repeatedly praying for God to make us safe and guide our path. Trying to not get distracted from everything else that's out there because it's foggy. Now, are we really saying, God, save me so I can continue on the path and follow you, the path that you have for me? Or are you really just clouded by the fog of life, saying, please don't let this thing hit me because I really want to continue to do what I was doing, but I need some insurance. Thinking, I just want to keep going my own way and roll into heaven because I said, Jesus, Lord. Listen, maybe you're here and you're not right with God right now. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe you know the Bible stories, but you haven't put your faith in Christ yet. Maybe you're asking yourself, have I really surrendered it all? Or am I just holding on through the fog of everything, just hoping that I won't get hit? We all need to say, Hosanna, God, save me, because salvation is available to all of us. Jesus comes to you not in judgment, but humbly on a donkey, offering life to you, offering you freedom from the oppression of sin, from the oppression of I want, from the oppression of self. You know, maybe you've been a Christian for years, or maybe even decades, but just like the song, God's Not Done With You, we continually get peeled away in this life like an onion, because we still have a Hosanna prayer. You know, maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's fear over health concerns. Maybe it's some burden of a past hurt. Maybe it's something that you've yet to forgive someone for. It could be anything. But the more that we sacrifice, the more that we find true freedom comes only from ultimate surrender to the King of Kings. And the more that we see that, the more that those layers get peeled away, the more that we know and our confidence grows that He is the only way. That He is the only way. You know, in Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as the opportunity for flesh, but through love serve one another." Jesus is the ultimate guide. He is the ultimate plan. He is the only plan. We're called to freedom to serve one another, to sacrifice ourselves for others. And as we sacrifice and surrender ourselves, just like Jesus did, sacrifice becomes everything. Surrender becomes everything, because no need in your life is greater than He. No need in your life is bigger than He. He is the true freedom. The true freedom. So stand with me. Open your hearts to the victory and freedom that comes into our lives in the timing that's provided by the ultimate authority. That there is nothing that we can do to earn it. The only thing that we can do is surrender and receive it, because that's how true freedom comes. That's the way that true freedom exists. And it's the only way that we can get there, is to surrender to Him. And Father, I pray right now that we seek Your presence, that we don't miss it like they did, that we remain sensitive to Your Spirit, Lord. That we stand in Your faith. We stand in confidence that You are the true freedom of life. That Your sacrifice was for all of us, Lord. And that it is only through surrender that it's brought. That Your covering and presence is enough, and it overcomes any of our perceived certainty of our situations. Lord, I pray that we don't let our humanness, that our human expectations hinder Your plan for our lives. May we surrender ourselves as You surrendered for us, Lord. Amen. Let's worship. Find me here, Lord. Jesus came in as a lonely servant on a donkey, not on a battle steed. not in royal robes, but on the clothes of the poor and the humble. He doesn't conquer by force, but by love, by grace, and by mercy. His sacrifice for us, for you. He conquers the hearts and the minds, and he reigns with peace and love. What more could freedom look like? What more could freedom look like? I'm going to invite the prayer team up right now. If you need prayer for anything, if you're not really sure what to do, if you're like, God, I need you in my life, come up and get prayer with them. Lord, I pray that as we go about our week, that we live out your sacrifice, that we live out your sacrifice as we reflect your love and your grace and your mercy upon everyone that we encounter this week, Lord. Lord, may you be our guiding light always, Lord. May we get our freedom only from you. In Jesus' name. Lord, dismiss us now in your great grace. Amen.